Welcome to the Jacob's Well podcast. These messages are intended to feed you some great stuff that you can really dig your teeth into all week and beyond. That's why you can find it anytime, along with other great resources and ways to keep the conversation going at jacobs-well.net/leftovers. Enjoy the message.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all. I'm Greg Meyer, and we've got just a lot of stuff this morning. So happy Memorial Day to you as well, which is where a lot of these people that you can't see are today. So we're glad, and that's why we have the podcast as well. So we have two baptisms this morning, which we are going to be celebrating. And actually, we kind of have three baptisms because Harvey Gish, who's kind of new, also just this cutest little, one of the cutest little babies, is being baptized today at a camp that family has some history of. But they wanted to make sure that we knew that and can celebrate that as well. So, and then we have another one next week and another one in a couple weeks after that. I don't know what's going on here. There's something in the water. But so we're celebrating that. And we are on the third week of our talking about, we're talking about these life cycles, all these things that come and go in our life. And the first week we talked about this giving birth and letting go. And it's pretty easy to see Elijah and Amelia, who are being baptized today, as that first part of that, just that giving birth. I mean, you're as parents, you're not even thinking about that letting go part yet. Yeah, you don't worry about that yet. It will be real enough. It's sort of easy to see the kids as part of that first part, but really, we are all part of all these cycles of life, because we have that kind of the grand arc of our life cycles of giving birth and then of having our own turn, and then the part of memory kind of in the grand scale of the arc of our lives. But really, all of them happen in very small and minute and daily ways as well. So these rhythms that play out in our whole lives also play out in the day-to-day lives that we have as well. And like I said, the second part, and what we talked about last week, Aaron McGee and I talked about, is when it's your turn. Now, you have been let go. You isn't just parents letting go, but we get let go. And then we have to make our way in the world. We have to find our own lives. And one of the things we talked a lot about is the fact that it's who you become is really probably more what that story is about than what you do. And anyway, a big piece about that. Today, we're going to be talking about this more than remembering. Asking what we have left when everything is through. And not going to go there right now, but I want to just take a moment to, before we dive into it, to think about these two children and how they are part of a community that is so much bigger than themselves, and not just here, but in the world, and it's bigger than themselves and their parents or family. I mean, they are part of a much bigger world of people who have all of these pieces of life, all these parts of the life cycle going on in their lives right now. And they, too, are woven into all of that. You know, so we come together today from our very many and various parts of these life cycles, and we represent them all. And if there was a way for us to be aware of everything that is going on in everybody's lives right now in this room, it would be overwhelming. I mean, you'd be overwhelmed by the joy, you'd be overwhelmed by the sadness, you'd be overwhelmed by the excitement and the trepidation about the magnitude of some of the decisions. It kind of makes you just sort of want to peek up and down the aisles and think, you know, what's going on in everybody's lives? We can't ever know that. There's no way for us to be aware of all those things at once. It's probably good, because I don't know what we would do with it all. But what we can be is community. We can be people, and we can be joined together in ways where we know one another and are known by one another, so that the real parts of our lives that need to be known by someone else will be known by someone else. And that attentiveness to ourselves and to the world around us and to each other can be important. So, more than remembering. I mean, for little Elijah and Amelia, this pressure of making sure your child grows up with a life that has more than something just to be remembered. I mean, that could be a lot of pressure, but we have to be able to back away from that, don't we? I mean, for our own lives, how many of us wondered, will my life matter? They call that the midlife crisis that a lot of us spend about 50 years in, trying to decide whether we have a legacy that's worthy of our lifetime. But rather than being in the pressure of, does it count? Maybe there is a different approach, and I think that's what we as Jacob's Well are trying to be about, and that's where I'm going to want to try to take us a little bit today. And that is to back off from this big worry of, am I busy with stuff that really matters, that's worthy of my lifetime, or am I just busy? Or am I shaping my children in ways where they're going to have fruitful lives that are really going to make a difference in this world, or am I just training them to be part of this system, to be chewed up as another cog in the wheel of industry? But I don't think we can take that burden on. I don't think we can worry about and look at any moment and say, am I doing the right thing with my life, or am I doing the right thing with my children or not? Because I don't think you can make those decisions and point at everything and say, this is the right thing or this is the wrong thing. Life is way too complex, and the pieces that weave together are too great and too grand for that. So what do we do instead? We become community. We can become community that works with each other and takes all of these pieces and makes something really meaningful and useful out of it. We like to think about that kind of community as the kind of community that can be transforming of the best and the worst of our lives, the great decisions and the not so great decisions, as a community that in which we share the important stuff of life, where we care for each other in ways that no one else could care about us because they don't know us that way, in ways that we gain the trust that we need in order to be open and honest with each other, and then in ways that we decide to grow together, that we all have these relationships in order to grow. Share, care, trust, and grow. So that's what we're looking at right now. You know, these experiences, these relationships that we can have, significant relationships of share, care, trust, and grow, are the things that allow us to be able to understand our lives in ways that make them worth more than remembering. So what is this more than remembering all about? I mean, that's kind of a funny phrase. I mean, remembering is a good thing. You know, whether remembering something that is gone, something that you've lost, it's a good thing to remember it, but like, it doesn't feel like enough to me. It feels like it's missing something. There's not enough teeth in that. On your outlines, you'll see it says, to remember is to recall the past. Great. Recall the past. Remember it. Why? Nostalgia, sentimentality, kind of fun, yeah, but what are you going to do with that? I think there needs to be more there, and we often really don't stop to think about it. So, you know, and when I'm talking about more than remembering, I'm not just talking about those who have died and have left us. I mean, there's also other people in your life that are simply gone. It might be a teacher that was very influential that you've moved on to another point in your life, and that person isn't there, a teacher, mentor. It might be, you know, neighbors or friends. You left high school, and you really don't see those friends anymore. You left college, you move, and you don't have those friends, those people in your life anymore. It might be your kids growing up and going on to college and being out of the sphere of their parents' lives on a day-to-day basis. There's all kinds of things that require more than remembering. But it's not just people as well. It might be a job. It might be a situation. It might be a home, a neighborhood that you've left. And, you know, what is my relationship to that? Is the past just something to recall? Or is there some power in that? Is there something more than remembering? Remembering itself isn't enough. Recalling the past isn't enough. There's a Bible verse from some 2,700 years ago by a prophet named Isaiah, who was living in a time when Israel was very busy just reliving the past. They were just regurgitating that and going on in the past without changing anything. And Isaiah, taking the voice of God, has some pretty strong words, and he says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. A new thing, not just the past, a new thing. Okay, now, given the irony that we're talking about not dwelling on the past by looking at a Bible verse from 2,700 years ago, it is amazing that long ago, we were already getting this idea that the past has a role, but don't get stuck there. I mean, when we are not reflective about the past and we don't understand why we value the past, when all we do is recall it, all we do is learn history. We don't learn the lessons of history. We need to know why we're looking at it and what we're looking at our past in order to be able to do that. And so that's the next thing you're going to see here. But there's this, and that is, put up this one, that you can remember or you can remember. I mean, play that little trick with the game, the word remember. What if it is remembering? What if it's putting something back together, putting the past back together as a whole, like putting your arms and your legs back on your body so it is a real thing, a whole thing, and you're dealing with that real thing as it is. Because when we remember our past, when we take all of it, not just the stuff we want to remember, the stuff we happen to remember, the stuff that's convenient, like the kids said, the stuff they really like about what it is that they lost, but we take the whole package, then we have the power to let our past actually impact the future. Which is what I think God is calling us to do. That's what, you know, do not dwell on things in the past. Don't get stuck there. I am doing a new thing. See the new thing. How do we put that together? I think that's what that's all about. We just celebrated communion. For a lot of you, you maybe came from a past where you were Episcopalian or Catholic or Lutheran, one of the more liturgical traditions. And when communion was happened, the pastor said some words, and one of the lines was, "Do this in remembrance of me." Does that sound familiar to people? Do this in remembrance of me. This is Jesus' commands when he did communion the first time, what we call communion for the first time. But what Jesus was not saying was, whenever you do this, I want you to remember me, guys. I mean, so you don't forget me. He wasn't saying, I want credit for this, or, you know, this is my link to not being forgotten. What he was saying, in fact, the word there for remembrance is an overly complicated word in the original language. There's a much, much simpler word to just say remember me or remember this. It's a really complicated word, and what it really is referring to is bring me present again. Jesus is saying, when you do this, make me be present. And not me, myself, but what I was about. This thing that I came in the world to, when you share at this table, I want you to make that happen again. I want you to be the one that it happens through. I mean, create relationships of share, care, trust, and grow. Change the world with it. Give people permission to be themselves and to figure out what the world is all about. So this remembered world, when we do that, there are two pieces of it that I want to talk about here, and this is kind of the key to this. And you're going to see down there, there's whenever we remember what we have lost, it's always with a mixture of both gratitude and forgiveness. Stuff that was wonderful that you want to carry on, stuff that, wasn't so great. It's going to require some forgiveness to deal with that. And I think we need to realize that both of those are always there. That's kind of the two columns on the kids' pictures. All right, what are the things that I'm thankful for that were so wonderful? What are the things that weren't so great and maybe require some forgiveness from me? Why do we do that? What's the function of these? The gratitude lets us be aware of the things that we want to hold on to, that we don't want to let disappear because they brought value to us. And I'm going to repeat them, not maybe exactly like they were. It's going to be true to the time. It's going to be true to who I am right now. But those are things we do not want to let go of. Simple remembering might just kind of spaces that off, loses a lot of the great stuff that was there. But there's more than just to there's more to just remembering things than just the stuff that we're grateful for. And that is, like I said before, the stuff that wasn't so perfect. And the truth is, nothing is perfect and no one is perfect. There are things that we can't be grateful with, and that's true of our jobs, of our circumstances, with the people in our lives. There's stuff that happens to us from those experiences that hurt us, that hold us back, that kept us from being the person that we could have been. Maybe it was a parent who always tried to fit you into the mold, or maybe it was a boss who was too much my way or the highway, or maybe it was an addiction, an anger, a prejudice, or some sort of rigid self-absorption or favoritism. The list of those things go on that the people in your past had that you need to let go of, that you need to forgive. It's an endless list. But we need to do more than remember those things. When all we do is remember those hurtful things, we aren't free of them. In fact, we imprison ourselves by continuing to remember. And that's why what we need to do is to forgive those. And what forgiveness does, forgiveness makes me aware that I want to be freed from, what I want to be freed from. This isn't about letting the person who did this off the hook. It's not about saying it's okay. It's not about forgive and forget. It's about the opposite of that. Forgiveness is for you. You forgive these things for you. In fact, the other person may not be available to receive the forgiveness, or they may not want to. It may not be a possibility. You can't be imprisoned to that person either accepting that forgiveness or not. You forgive for your own sake so that you can be freed of it. You declare you're taking off those chains and you're finding a future, choosing a future over and against that. We need to remember, put that together that way. When we do this, we can stop being the victim. We can start learning from those experiences. So that's it. So you have gratitude and you have forgiveness. And from both of those, we can learn. Sometimes we think we can only learn from positive experiences. Well, you all know you had negative experiences you learned just as much from. We need to be able to learn and to grow from our positive and our negative experiences, the things we're grateful for, the things that we need to forgive. And when we do that, we have basically, you can boil my message down to these three words. We are empowered to make it better. When I can take the good, when I can take the bad, when I can be grateful, when I can forgive all the stuff, that whole range, that whole mess of stuff that happens in my life, that my past is about, when I can remember that in this dynamic way, I have the ability to take what I learn and to make it better. Make what better? Make my relationships better. Make my life better. Make my workplace better because of what I learned from my last workplace. Make my school, my classroom, my project better. Make the world better. But we aren't going to do that if we don't learn from our gratitude and from our forgiveness of the things that have gone before us. Make it better. So I think that's an important thing for us to do. But I just want to take 1 minute and to think about this last thing. So that's all assuming that you're the person who has outlived whatever that person's circumstance situation was. What about ourselves? As I think about my life, and do I want to be, more than remembered. How do I do that? Well, I think it's pretty clear, you're going to find an outline, is that being remembered, being more than remembered, isn't about just being honored or to getting credit. All right? I mean, I would love to be remembered. I would love to be honored. I mean, that's a great thing. But, like, so what? If you're really hung up on being honored, then, well, just do it this way. I mean, go ahead to that picture of the headstone there. So if you really want to be honored, like, don't wait. Go buy a really big headstone. Put a really nice thing about yourself. Greg Meyer, greatest thing since sliced bread. I know. You're all saying, yeah, that's right. That's it. And then what you want to do is you want to walk to it within your phone and mark that spot on your map and then publish it on Google Maps so everyone always knows that that is there. And you will be honored for the rest of eternity, okay? At least as long as Google lasts. So that's one way of doing it. Another thing is that you can just want to get credit for things. I want to get credit. But when you're so dependent on getting credit for all of your goodness in the world, you're going to really narrow the things that you try to do because there's so much. The most important things in life you will never get credit for. We said that last week. You know, there's no limit to what you can accomplish if you don't care who gets the credit. So it's not about that. What it is about, and that is contribution. Your life and being more than remembered is based on the fact that you made a contribution. Whether you're recognized for it or not, whether you get credit for it or not, it really doesn't matter. And, you know, maybe that feels kind of ominous and having this challenge of leaving behind a life that mattered. But there's some good news here for you. And that is that while you have this challenge of making a life that matters, you have the assurance that you can matter both despite and because of who you are. All right? That's the gratitude and the forgiveness piece. I mean, you are not only significant because you did some great stuff, but despite the fact that you are kind of one of those people some of the time as well. And that's okay. I mean, God uses the good stuff and the not so good stuff. We learn from what we give thanks for, and we learn from what we have to forgive. And that's okay. In fact, God is a because of and a despite sort of God all the time. God takes the good and the bad and weaves something out of it. It isn't to take us out of the hook, but to know that we are that kind of person. The other thing that it tells us in is, maybe I don't need to spend all my energy trying to be perfect. You don't, all right? You don't have to spend all your time and energy being perfect. There's a better place to spend it. We say, well, I could be more perfect. I could be 60% perfect instead of 30% perfect. Or I could be 80% perfect instead of 25% perfect. Here's the thing. Do you know what you call a person who is 99% perfect? Imperfect, all right? It just takes 1%. Whatever imperfection is in your life is going to get in the way and trip up what is so good about your life. So rather than trying to pretend you're perfect, trying to create an illusion to the people around you that everything is great and you're perfect, what if you were just open and honest? What if you were your real self and you equipped the people around you to deal with that? What if instead of spending all that energy trying to look perfect, you spent it helping the people around you have the capacity to deal with what is so good about you and what isn't so good about you? What if you were open and honest about who you were? And you had those conversations with your kids as they're growing up. And they knew that they don't always have to think you made the right decision. We can talk about it. We can wrestle about it. And they can have that same thing themselves. So rather than spending all your energy on trying to be perfect, spend it on teaching and modeling gratitude and forgiveness. Give people that capacity to both learn from all that great stuff about you, your becauses, and also from your despites. You know, if God spoke this way, I think what God would be saying to us right now, which maybe is our kind of closing prayer here, would be this. I think God's saying, you know, you exist in this world for a reason, not a reason to go do something, but to be you. Not to be perfect, not to be some ultimate person. Quit trying to do that. Quit trying to idealize yourself. But just be you and weave your life with me and with the people around you in ways that build this share, care, trust, and growth so that you can be stronger. And help other people know you that way. Be honest and open with people. Trust them that they can deal with you and be grateful as well as maybe have to forgive, and that's okay. And maybe as we do that with ourselves and we allow the people around us to do it, we can all make this world a little bit better place. So God, help us to do that. Help us to more than remember. Help us to take the good and the tough. Help us take the things that we are grateful for, the things that we must forgive. And help us to learn from them and to make it better. Make this world better along with you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you found this podcast valuable, please pass it along to others. And we'd love to hear from you too. You can email us at info@jacobs-well.net or message Jacobs Well Minneapolis on Facebook. We see what we do as a community really making a difference for people. Since you're listening, you probably have too. If you'd like to make a donation to support this work, you can find ways at jacobs-well.net/give. Thanks. Listen again next week or join us in person Sunday mornings at 10:30.